Just remember, Asher and Juliana, they are getting married soon, and there's a table set up. That will be like our shower since they do not live here right now. And then we will not have a service this Sunday evening. Go ahead and start getting ready for Thanksgiving. And then the 22nd is our Journey Friendsgiving. If you have any questions about that, ask Sister Ryanna McGee. And then the 24th is our Mission Pledge will be due. That is this Sunday. And this Sunday we will also be having our baby dedication service. And then the following Wednesday, we will not have Wednesday night service. We will have service on Tuesday night. Got all that? And we have a lot more, but we'll give those on Sunday, okay? Why don't you go ahead and stand up? Thankful for another day of life, another day to get to have His name on our names. Thank you, Jesus.
What do you think Jesus is doing right now? What do you want Him to do right now? Bible says He is able to do exceeding whatever you've been thinking about. Greater is He that is for you than he that is against you. That blood that she just sang about and we just rejoiced over causes us to realize that He is not playing games with the ball of what we call earth and the galaxy, all that's going on. He is getting things ready for us to come home. Be ye ready, He said, for in a day you think not, I'm going to call you in and and it'll be the last day you spend on earth. Why don't we rejoice just a little bit about the blood, about the Holy Ghost, about a name that's pure and holy. Father, we just want to lift up our voice. You said, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. And we are here tonight to obey you. We're not trying to facilitate another human. We are praising the name of the Almighty God. We are glorifying the work of that great God. We are glorifying the effort that you are making to give us the sovereignty that we need in this hour. I thank you tonight for this people that are here. And I praise your wonderful name for the atmosphere of prayer and praise. Hallelujah. God bless you as you're seated, and the ushers are coming to receive our offering tonight. We want you to let God just bless you in every way possible. Others, but Sister Geraldine Osmus, Kenny Ham battling cancer, Anna Emerson, Cindy Pinson, Sue Smith, Dickie Ewing, Carol Bullock, and Brother Griffith. I want us to keep praying for him and his wife and all of our senior people that are facing things that they knew they would face, but it's not ever convenient. And I would like for us, if if you've had any prayer answered in your life in the last 5 years, I'd like for you to stand in faith for these people tonight, and let's pray the prayer of faith for them. Somebody touch the hem of his garment for us. Father, we are more than conquerors. Seated tonight. It's a wonderful thing to know that God has been looking all day for a place to show himself strong. He is the bread. He offers to us a river of living water. He has created for us a holy city. But in the meantime, he has created a general level of information that will cause us to use a sword the Word and the Spirit to be able to come against anything that would try to arrest us, our family, or whoever. So we stand in the gap a lot more than just routine statements called prayer. We touch the hem of His garment and feel that virtue coming as a response to our intercessory prayer. So I want us to go all the way back to the very start of Genesis. I'll read fairly fast because I want to cover quite a bit of ground as quickly as possible and yet as wonderful as it is. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In the second verse, the earth was without form, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light and divided it from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them," not him, "them," us, "have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth." So it's not hard to realize, since He put it in paper, what He's got in mind this evening, what He has had in mind all day long. He doesn't ever get absent-minded. He is filled with the whole concept of what He started. He created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. Then He created humans, and then He filled us with His Spirit and gave us a roadmap called the Bible and information concerning life, offenses, defenses, abilities, powers, strengths of every capacity is at our fingertips. And so Hebrews 1 and 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. I want to insert right here, Jesus is not stingy with the source that He has at His fingertips. They that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is not a one little syllable section. Being saved nowadays to people is that you're just saved and you can just sort of go on and do whatever you want to do. No, no, no. He saved us from sin so we could polish the powers of God in our life, so we could conquer just as He conquered the heavens and the earth. We are going to and are in charge of conquering those debilitating moments when our flesh wants to cry out and say, "I can't do it, I can't make it." And He said, against all of that, all things are possible to them that believe. I have watched my dad with cancer. I have watched some of the most beautiful people in the sanctuary here that we have with cancer and other atrocities. And I have watched them filled with faith against, and they died in the faith just as these people in the Bible he talks about. Death is just part of life. But in the middle of that, we keep challenging all of the powers of death and hell because we know in whom we have believed. And we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him. And so the commitment right there is I commit my hands, my head, my heart, my mind, my spirit. We believe in oneness. That's what oneness is all about. The whole concept of oneness is that we have one source and we have one future, and we are going to live according to that, and we're not going to let the enemy take us under, take us out, just because we have a worry. I'm telling you tonight that based upon the Word of God, Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. I wish you'd look at somebody around you and let them know, you don't have to say anything to them, just think about it, that they are made in the image of Jesus Christ. You're not made to be a sinner. You're not born again to live in shame of weakness and wondering if I can make it, and if God really loves me, and if God really cares. All that bunch of junk that comes out of the mouth of Satan and his imps trying to put it in our mind, God must not love you or you'd get everything you wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to give you everything you need, he said. He said, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Not your desires, not the flesh stuff. He said, I will give you all power in heaven and in earth so that you can overcome all the weakness that this flesh continues to rip and trying to tantalize your mind by saying, God don't any longer care. That's why we crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. We don't just crucify the flesh so we can do this or that. No. We crucify the flesh so the voice of flesh doesn't conquer the voice of Jesus Christ. And if Christ be in you, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to win and you are going to overcome and you are going to be a light and you are going to feed this world something that they have not gotten a hold of. And that is the bread that cometh, hallelujah, by the living word of God. That's why we quote scriptures on the job. And that's why we quote scriptures against all the poverty that is taking place in the spiritual arena. We tell people exactly the word. We don't tell them, well, I'm sorry that this here is going on and that. Let me tell you what I got. I got you a little bread. I got you a little something that's going to help you. I'm going to tell you what the book said. And though that the enemy comes against you, God is greater than your enemy. And so what we want to do is realize again what happens in this Bible. And so in verse 4, Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father and a source, and he shall be to me a son. He's saying to us right now, we have been calibrated by the greatest of efforts that God ever put together. His moving a mountain and His creating all the earth and all the other orbit things that are going on. But His sacrifice was not to that. He created that. His sacrifice was to us. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when we look at that Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we start seeing, and these did this by faith, and these did this by faith. Well, brothers and sisters, they had some tough times. And I doubt seriously if any of us have had any greater atrocities that have tried to cripple us than trying to cripple them. And so we look to the Word of God, and I want us to read again in verse 8, but unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. That means the kingdom of God, which is what we are, have the scepter, that when the scepter is risen up, the powers of hell cannot stop it. And so that phenomenon there is absolutely cherished by the believer. Verse 10, And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish. But watch this next statement. But You remain, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. There's nothing casual about what all God has going for and with us. When He said, greater things than these shall you do, He meant, I will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. And there ought to be something bubbling up already in this message tonight that says, I'm a part of that kind of power source. And there's something inside of me that is going to be a greater than I've ever been in my life. We are not going to become midgets because all the things going on out there. He said, I will be in you, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We are not even charged, not even by going through the graveyard. We have resurrection power in us if we are walking in the faith and loving God and loving our neighbor. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be worried about whether you're going to be in that rapture. That rapture is forever going to be there to those who follow the Christ. And so now I'm going to move on into some of the rationale that God woke me up to and began to help me with all of this other stuff in the last 2 days. So we began, and we rationalize all that's going on as we reach this final stretch of life. Well, I'm too old, I'm getting too feeble, and this is too much, and that's too much. Whether it is by other atrocities, wars, or even the expiration of earth, more than 1 million people have died from COVID-19 in the U.S. since the virus first emerged in Wuhan, China, in December of 2019. I began to look at some of the things that have been going on in our world, and 1 million people is not really that many when you continue to realize how many millions of people there are on this earth. So though initially this was discovered in Wuhan, China in late 2019, COVID-19 entered the conversation in the U.S. in January of 2020, and over 1 million people have died from it. And when the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, alerted the nation of the outbreak abroad, they began to do everything they could, and they did what they could. But let me tell you that God only let it go so far. God is the only source of life. If the devil could have took out everybody, he would have done it then. But our God said, that's enough. I want them to see what hell is offering to their world. I want them to see what hell would like to do. And that doesn't mean those people went to hell. That means that that's what hell would love to do to every one of us. And that's destroy our faith, kill our faith, kill our operation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thrilled to be able to preach to you a God that is in this house tonight, and he's going to get in your car, or he is in your car waiting on you. I'm telling you, he'll be there to give you your last breath when it comes time to die. But in the meantime, hallelujah, we got life, and we got life everlasting. And if I die, hallelujah, I know this, that I am in Christ Jesus, a brand new creation. And all that stuff that's going on around you, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to be worried one bit. You will suffer persecution, the Bible said. Sickness and torment does come, the Bible said. But we know in whom we have believed, and we understand that he has led all of that, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, he has led those people through atrocities and difficulties and hairy moments. Ladies and gentlemen, there ought to be some praise that just naturally begins to flow as we begin to think about what all's got going on right now in our spirit, in our heart, in our head. I'm here to tell you that the half has never been told, and we know enough right now to realize that he loves to hear us praise. He said, I inhabit the praise of my people. I don't inhabit the fear of the people. I inhabit the praise of the people. It's time for the house of God to be filled with praise from the starting of a service to the ending of the service. We haven't yet seen the revival of all the kids that are coming home and all the kids that are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost and all the neighborhoods that are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't even shout enough tonight just knowing what God has spoken to my heart about what's going to happen in America and in Texas and across the nation. I'm here to tell you, why don't somebody just stand and praise him for the purpose he gave us? Somebody just stand and give him the glory for giving me the opportunity to rise up in this hour and say, Satan, you're not taking my kids. You're not taking my grandkids. You're not taking our city. You're not taking this stuff. We are going to fill this city with the glory of the living God. We're going to fill this city with the victory of the God of heaven. We are not just going through some little anthem. We are the people of God, chosen by God and filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. You've got to know that I've been trying to hold this back all day. Death for the Christian is only a doorway to all we could ever ask for. Bible said it this way, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You don't lose when you die in the faith. You get separated from all the atrocities. So this service is to bless us with the choice we have made concerning our life. We know, as in Adam, all live and die. That is a proven fact. What we also know, life is short and full of trouble. Well, it don't always feel short. That's where we sometimes let our feelings rule us, because we want everything now. It doesn't have to be educated into kids to hurry and want to be driving a car. They want all kind of things. God said there is the best is to seek the kingdom. That ought to be told to every grandkid. that ought to be offered to every child, every neighbor, kingdom living. It's not about joining a local building. It is becoming a king's kingdom, and we become partners with that kingdom. I cut out a lot of the stuff concerning kingdom life, but what we also know, life is short and full of trouble. So we should not expect anything less than what the Word of God says. It is short. Basically, 70 days, 70 days is what he says. And so some people die early, and so the average, sometimes they die at 100. So day or night, no matter what hour in which we expire, Jesus is going to be there for those who died in the faith. Do we know the day of the coming of the Lord? No. We do know also, or what we do know is, no one does know. I tried to make all these notes clear because I didn't want to lose any of them. So we live each day with an awesome promise. If that promise is alive, there should be no fear. That is the promise he made. Now, if he can't keep that promise, you don't have to worry about heaven or hell. But we've all tasted enough hell to know there is a hell. You can't show it to people, but you can sure feel it. There is also a heaven, and that's why the writer said we move into heavenly places. The one place that definitely ought to be a heavenly place is when we as a church family come together and we begin to worship God, and we are in heavenly places. And I promise you, that's the area where children are going to be born of the Spirit. And that atmosphere is the church, is the mother of us all. And a church that doesn't worship with everything inside of them is not going to clear the temple, physical temple, of all of the doubts and fears. But when the church, where two or three even, are gathered together, I will be there. But when the crowd of people gets together and begins to worship in song and in spirit and dance and begin to praise the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, it ought never to be that we come to a house of God and somebody has to say, let's all worship now. Let's all praise the Lord now. Let's all sort of get with it now. That ought to be a natural thing. I have been kept all week long. I have been filled with the Holy Ghost every 24 hours. And I'm coming to His temple, and my brothers and sisters are going to have to try to get me to worship God, not on your life. Ladies and gentlemen, He gives me breath, and He gives me wisdom by times, and He gives me love, and He gives me the fruit of the Spirit, and He gives me the works of the Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, it ought to just be a natural thing. When we walk into this house, I came to praise the name of the Lord. I came to thank Him for my brothers. I came to thank Him for my sisters. I came to thank Him for my job. I came to thank Him for my future. I'm telling you, don't have to work up anything. I'm here to preach to us tonight and teach to us at the same time. At a time, He loves or inhabits the praise of His people. He's a healer, so I want to stir up the Spirit. He's a deliverer, so I want to stir up the Spirit. He's an educator. I want to stir up the Spirit. I want to be able to walk out of my service with the King of Kings and authorize victory for the people on my job and tell them, I prayed for you last night, and I prayed for you last week, and I prayed for you this morning, and I'm telling you, the King of Kings has got angels looking down on you, and He's going to be bringing to you thoughts, and you're going to sense that you're being fed a future by the King, not a local assembly. We are talking about the local assembly has a father or a source that fills our mind and our hands and our feet. We don't just come walking through and saying, well, I got to go to church. No, I am the church. You are the body of Christ. You take that to the temple where you offer the sacrifice of praise, and there you in that house of God, and the God of the house is looking down and saying, angels, I want you to take notes. I want you to take record of all those people down there, and I want you to give them thoughts tomorrow of peace and power and victory, and I want them to have wisdom and knowledge to be able to feed the poor in the city and to feed the weak in the church, and tell them our God is able, our God is willing, our God desires, our God wants you to have the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. It ought to just be something natural. Praise him in the dance. Praise him with a loud voice. Praise him with the clapping of the hands. Praise him in the song. Praise him in the dance. I'm here to preach to us and teach to us. Our God is looking for a place to show himself strong. It ought never to be that we would leave the house of God and somebody say, how was church tonight? Oh, well, just usual. Usual? I was in the presence of the Creator of my future in heaven, and it was just usual? Really? Hello? We are in the line of the bread. The preaching of the word is not just, do I like the way he said it or the way she said it? Do I like just the song? No, I like to praise God, and if they'll just give us some music, we'll praise God with them. If they'll preach the word, we'll activate that source. That's why it's so imperative that we come to church and pray on our way to church instead of just talking about how pitiful the day was and, oh, what I got to do tomorrow and all that junk. We need to cleanse the temple. Just dressing right is not going to fill the temple. He inhabits the praise of his people. The more praise we get going, the more power we begin to experience, and the world begins to feel the imperatives of trying to find out, where in the world do all those people get that joy? Where in the world do all those people get that peace? Where in the world do get that lifestyle of righteousness? Where in the world do they get that? It's not something we got to preach to them. It is something we are living epistles, known and read of all men. They sense it, they see it, and they feel it. And that's when our kids and our grandkids, they're going to want to get in on it, because there's nobody down the street that's going to be as happy as a king's kid. There's nobody down the street that's going to be as thrilled as to live in the power of the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing like real kingdom living, and we're not going to pretend that we're kingdom lives. We are walking in the faith. We are dancing in the spirit. We are rejoicing in salvation. We love to hear the preaching of the word that keeps us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Of course, you didn't get up with me at 5 o'clock this morning. God began to tell me all this stuff, and I tried to write it down. And I just could hardly, I wrote it as quick as I could. So we are the light to those who sit in darkness. Do we truly challenge the powers and the rights? With the phenomenon of Christ, the light of the world, and I think I just covered that, but we are born again to gain the powers and the rights that belong to the children of the Father, the source of all creation. If you would study the kings and the people that are born into their king, the king's family, They have servants. Now, for the church, we have angels, servants of God that are ministering spirits sent forth by God to minister to them that are in salvation. So we are created in the image of victory. We have the spirit of victory, and we are more than conquerors. Is that true, or is that just every now and then that if somebody says what I want them to say or preaches what I want them to say, if they sing the song I want them to sing? No. We are created in His image, and we are more than conquerors. We go to church with a conquest, and we know that we are not only going to go to the church with the church building with the conquerors and conquest, but we are going to praise God, because we know that tomorrow we're going to face demons, we're going to face people that are feeling bad, and we're going to face people that are sick and weary with life, and we are going to be ready for that occasion. When we walk out of the house of God, we're going to go out with excitement. I've been around the King. I've been around the Word. I've been eating the bread of life. I've been filled with the wine of the Spirit. And I want to tell you what we did last night. And I want to tell you what happened last Sunday. And I want to tell you what the thrill of the Thursday was. And I want to tell you that I'm expecting more Friday. And I'm expecting Saturday. And then I'm going to go back to the table, and I'm going to get some more Sunday, and I'm going to get more Sunday night, and I'm going to get back to the house of God, and I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to worship in my car. I'm going to worship in my house. I'm a worshiper. He is the mighty God. He deserves my praise. He deserves my glory. He deserves my obeisance. He deserves it. Oh, we joyfully clap our hands to Him. I can never forget my dad. He would walk through the house in times of difficulty, and he would say, "Praise the name of the Lord." My wife's daddy was the same. I can remember him with a stiff hip and with all kind of atrocities in his body, and he would walk up and down the hall, and he would say, "Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." And I can tell you, there's a revival bursting loose in this assembly. There is a pregnancy of the Word of promise, and God is going to give you all something that you've been wanting, and God's going to deliver, hallelujah, the goods up and down the street, and we are going to fill this city with the glory. Would some of you men like to stand and praise God for the promise? Oh God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not backing up. We're not backing down. We're not quitters. We are literally fighting. You musicians, get ready, because I'm just going to have to stop. That's all there is to it. The law of obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And I covered that a little bit recently. So the vision of Christ was to give His life. And the vision He has for us is to give the same. The law of obedience is to make us synchronized with the deepest part of deity. The more of His Word that we begin to imbibe and put into action is going to be the part of Joel's promise of revival in the last days. So obedience produces a union with God, the Creator that made everything for His glory. The fruit of the Spirit is critical in the results. And if you're not aware of not having the fruit of the Spirit, I encourage you, get every one of those and memorize them, and then pray over them. Not now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul. I'm not talking about some casual prayer. I'm talking about intercessory prayer. God, I want every fruit of the Spirit. I want those two covenants to be in my life every day. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. We're not talking about just if I want to or if I'd like to. No, no, no. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Don't just invite them to church houses. Don't just tell them how good you've got it. Just tell them about God. Tell them about what he's done in your world. Tell them about what he's doing for the future of the entire universe. He's got a holy city. He's got a path to get there. He's got the victory of spirit to get you there. He is a able God. He is not a partial God like the people that just serve God part-time. He is a full-time God. He is there 24/7. That doesn't mean that you don't have pain. That doesn't mean that there's not difficulties. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He didn't hold anything back. He said, but call on me in the day of trouble. I will be there. I will be a comfort to you while you're going through a severity. I will be a comfort to you while your family's going through a severity. I will be a wish, a hope for you when things are not like you want them to be. I'm here to preach to us tonight what God sent me to preach and to teach, that we are made in his image and we have every ability to walk through the door and to get everything we need to walk in and out, hallelujah, of every place in this city and know without a question, I am a child of God. I have spiritual authority and I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting my kids because and getting mad at my kids because and getting mad at my neighbor because. No, God loved me when I was at my worst. God called me when I was a drinker. God called me when I was a cusser. God called me when I was in iniquity. God called me, and we're here to tell you he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is on your side. He came to Calvary for you, sir, and for you, mama, and for your grandkids, mama, and don't you give up on them. Because they were out there in the dark and they're out there in that world. Don't you give up. I know in whom I have believed. I know he's able. I know because he got me out. Hebrews 11, we're closing. And I hope that everybody can find a place to pray for at least 5 minutes. I would think that God would like for us to come to the altar. But Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, David. I doubt seriously if any of us have had more difficulties in life than any of those people that I took from the Bible. I encourage you, whether to come to the front, wherever, but to pray that God would give you everything you need for your neighbors, because that's one of the things he told us. Love your neighbors as yourself. Don't invite them to church, not without telling them what's really going on at the house of God. They've been invited to almost every church building. They need the touch of a spirit that says, I care about you. And here's what happens to me when I go to the house of God. And the Bible says that you are living epistles, known and read. They can't know and read us until we tell them what's happening with our God and at our assembly when we get together. Tell them how drunk we get on the Holy Ghost. Tell them we have a healing line. Tell them that God is saving our children. Tell them God is doing some strong things mentally and spiritually. And if he's dead, you don't have a God, because he is alive evermore, the one I'm talking about. His thoughts are higher than any thoughts in the world. And any thought that tells you you can't make it is a lying spirit. That's when you go to fighting, and that's when you stir up the gift. Would you sing? And all over this building, I encourage you. If you can feel free to do it at all, I'd encourage you to come to the altar. And let's pray for our city. Pray for our children. That revival, apostolic authority, apostolic power, not get weak in the middle of what God is trying to do. That's it. Sing it. When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. If you want to see new people born again, travail in the Holy Ghost. For the sake of Lamar County, for the sake of my home, for the sake of my workers. Pray in the Holy Ghost if you can.